Welcome to Sausage on a Fork, a podcast dedicated to the UK's longest-running children's drama programme, Grange Hill. My name's Neil, and in each episode, I'll interview a former cast member about their life before, during, and after their time on the programme.
The world of Grange Hill was shocked and saddened this week when we heard the news that George Armstrong had passed away. George played Alan Humphreys from episode 1 of series 1 and appeared in the first 5 series of Grange Hill, as well as all 3 series of Tucker's Luck. The next episode of Sausage on a Fork will be a tribute to George and will feature interviews with his fellow cast members. Our thoughts are with his family and friends at this sad time.
Okay, so welcome to the latest episode of Sausage on a Fork. And for this episode, I have been joined by none other than Nadia Chambers, who played Annette Furman. Nadia, welcome to Sausage on a Fork.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to see you.
And I have to say, you're probably one of the most requested that we've had on. I've had loads of people, when are you getting Annette on? When are you getting Annette Furman? When's she coming on? So to finally have Annette Furman on the podcast is brilliant. So what we'll do, Nadia, is we will start the way we start every episode. And if you can tell us how you got into acting.
Yes, it's quite a long-winded story, so I hope you've got the patience.
That's okay. long stories are better because it makes my editing process so much easier. So you carry on.
All right, then. I grew up in a small town in South Wales called Porthcawl, which is where I am today. And my mother bought the Tina Turner album in the 80s. You know, the one that made Tina Turner really famous?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I used to sing along to it. I used to really sing at the top of my voice. And my mother, I remember her putting her head around the door going, "Was that you singing that?" And I was like, "Yeah." And that was it. Within 2 weeks, I had a singing teacher.
Wow.
And then within like a month, she got me an agent, and she called someone in the stage newspaper. She got a copy of the stage newspaper and saw an advert for Sylvia Young. So it was all quite quick. And then I had an agent who was Sylvia Young. And Sylvia at the time had a Saturday school in Leicester Square in London. So my mum used to take me to London every fortnight.
Right.
So twice a month on a Saturday. We used to get the train and go to Sylvia's school in Leicester Square. So it was fantastic. It was, if you can imagine, I came from this tiny little town.
Yeah.
But my mum always had grand ideas. She had grand plans. She was a very interesting character. Sadly, she has passed away. Right. But in the 50s, she'd been a dancer at the Windmill Theatre in London.
Right.
Then she met my dad, got pregnant, they had no money, and they had to go and live at my granny's in Porthcawl. And 4 children later, she was still desperate to get back to London.
Right.
It's a classic, classic stage mother, story where she was desperate to get back. And, and I think it was the classic case of through me, she got back to London. So then we were going every fortnight, and I remember the producers of Grange Hill coming in, and I passed the first round. And I remember after that, there were about 4 more rounds of auditions at the rehearsal studios in, I think it was East Acton. And it was quite, I remember it was quite a, lengthy process. Every audition we'd have to improvise. We would change characters quite a bit. I think Alison Bettles read a bit of Annette Furman's part, and I was reading someone else's part, and so that's how it happened. And I remember, I'll never forget the last day, the last audition, we were all sitting in these chairs, and it was quite lovely. The director stood up in front of us and went, "Alison, you're going to be Faye. Nadia, you're going to be Annette. Lee, you're going to be Jonas."
Yeah.
And so it was a really amazing thing to happen.
Brilliant. And so was that your first big job then?
Yes, it was. It was the first job I think I had.
Wow.
So yeah.
had you hadn't done really a great deal before? Grange Hill then?
No, and I certainly didn't want to be an actress. That wasn't on the cards. I wanted to be a doctor, and I went to this really strict girls' school, a convent school, so far away from the life that, you know, I went into. I just remember being quite, it just all happened so quickly. Never thought I'd be an actress, had no intentions of becoming one. I could just sing.
Right, okay. And so then, so presumably you had to move away from Wales then, yeah?
Yes. What happened, again, that happened really quickly. My mum had to get a chaperone. She had to find out, I think from Sylvia, chaperones that also had lodgings and things. And I remember living at a house in Uxbridge. And just, living with chaperones. And by then also, legally, I had to go to school. And Sylvia had just opened her stage school. So I then started at Sylvia's school. And there was a girl at the school, and I lived with her and her mother.
Oh, right, okay.
So that's how I got to kind of be in London. And I do sort of distinctly remember never going to Sylvia's school, maybe popping in like twice a month because we were always working. I mean, we were working children 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
So then when you weren't filming, you were back in Wales?
When I wasn't filming, I think, if I can remember, Grange Hill went from sort of March until Christmas. It was a long haul. You know, it was like 9 months of the year, I think. I think we had maybe two or three months off. So, I had to go into Sylvia's school on my days off, which weren't many.
Right.
But, Wales was my stability and my home. And I still call it home, even though I live in London.
Okay. So you joined Grange Hill then. Well, it would have been 1981. Series 5 went out in 82. Were you a fan of the programme?
You know what? I was. And I used to play Grange Hill with my neighbours.
Wow.
I was really close to my cousin. I always used to go to my cousin's house because they had a great big back garden. And him and his friends, we used to play Grange Hill. And I would play... we'd make up our own characters or whatever. So,
Brilliant. No, because you know what? For some reason, I just assumed you were going to say that you used to be Trisha Yates when you played Grange Hill.
I think I probably was. I love Trisha Yates.
Brilliant. So what was it like then, going from being a fan to then walking in? Because when you joined us, like, the first year, the likes of Tucker and Trisha and people like that were still there. What was it like going in and seeing them?
It was a bit surreal. You know, when you have to contain yourself because it was very surreal. I remember the first week, I think we started in the summer, and in the summer we were always in a school in Hammersmith on location. And I remember that Tucker, Todd Carty, He had his car with him. He obviously drove himself in, and he was sitting in his car outside. And there was talk, you know, like, oh, it's Tucker. Tucker's out there. He's got, you know, he's got his own car. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant.
It was just surreal. It was amazing.
And then so you joined then. You joined along, and it has to be said, it's one of Grange Hill's most famous year groups. It has to be said, the fact, you know, you joined along with Alison Bettles, who played Faye, and Zamo and Jonah and Roland as well. And obviously more people came along at the time, but there was also Paula, who played Belinda as well. And in the very first scene that we see Annette in, we straight away get an idea of what Annette's character is like, because she runs, her and Faye run and sit at the back of the class. Jonah and Zamo come over and say, these are our seats, get out. Jonah sits down, and Annette doesn't have that messing from him at all and pushes him out the chair. So straight away, we know what we're dealing with Annette. And she was really, really, really feisty, wasn't she? I mean, was it fun to play that type of character?
Absolutely. I think I got very lucky with that character, you know. And I've listened to a few of the previous podcasts, and people have kindly said, oh, I wish I'd had Annette's lines. And I remember straight away knowing how lucky I was. And so it was fantastic. And every week, I think on a Monday, we get two scripts to learn. And we do two episodes over 2 weeks. And I used to leaf through the script.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to see what she was going to get up to.
Yeah.
So I just had it made with that character. I really did. I loved her. I really loved her.
Were you anything like her?
I think there's almost always going to be a similarity when it comes to casting.
Yeah.
I think, yes, in that I'm pretty, I guess our dress sense, you know, I really don't care what people think about me, you know, and I'll just wear what I want, and I'm a bit of a free spirit, and I think Annette was. So there were certainly those kind of similarities. I'm certainly not a bully, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But then again, there was a part of Annette that she was angry because, as it transpired, there was a lot going on at home.
Yeah.
So she was coming in, you know, and she was using anger as a way of trying to get through her life and navigate the situation, you know.
Yeah.
I think there were some similarities.
I mean, you just mentioned there about Annette being a bully, and I don't always look at it that way. I tend to think that, she spoke her mind. You know, if she thought someone looked a certain way and they could improve on the way they looked, she'd tell them, but in a very Annette Fearman type of way. And she did have a bit, you know, a bit a soft side as well, didn't she? But yeah, I've wondered and watched that, because I thought, would Faye Lucas really have been mates with her? And then I thought, well, yeah, she would, because she wasn't necessarily a bully. And she needed Faye to look out for her and to tell her when she was going wrong, didn't she?
You know what, Neil? I think exactly the same way, because I was thinking about her friendship with Faye. And I think in Faye, she found a kinder side of herself as well. And she really loved Faye. She really did. And yeah, you're right. Annette wasn't always a bully. She was cocky. Someone was being mean to her at home, and she was, and she was trying to cope, and she, but you know, and she was a little bit sassy. She had an answer for everything. Yeah, there's a part, I you know, I'm a little bit like that. I've got a mouth for me. I try not to use it, but, you know, and I've got a way of getting what I want when I want it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about that first episode, because Annette had thrown Jonah on the floor, Jonah then threw the stink bomb over where Annette was, and, you know, she stood on it, and they all had to be evicted from the classroom. Annette was kicking off because it ruined their shoes. So then Annette was determined to get him back. Determined to get Jonah. And that, like, it was sort of backwards and forwards for a while, because she sort of said that he should pay for the shoes, and it was never going to happen. So she went and got another stink bomb. So she threw it at him and it didn't break. So she got it back and she threw it. And she was quite lucky here, because she threw it at him, but it missed and it hit Griffith. So I think she was quite lucky to get away with that one. Really lucky to get away with the fact that it hit Griffith, because if he'd have known who it was, he wouldn't have stood for that one. So then I think the first storyline Annette was really involved in after the stink bomb incident was the clarinet. If we remember Belinda's clarinet, because Annette and Belinda, I don't know if you remember this, but in the music lesson, they both played the recorder, which, to me, as someone that went to high school, the recorder wasn't bothered with in our high school at all. And that just seems strange watching that back. But then the music teacher, Miss Griffith, says that Belinda's got a real aptitude for it, so would she like to play the clarinet? And then Annette, being Annette, gets really jealous obviously jealous and hid the clarinet in the boys' changing rooms, but just for a laugh. Because as I was saying before about, you know, I don't really think that she was necessarily a bully. She just, it was, as you say, it was her way of coping with things. It was her way of getting through the day. She looked for ways that she could just enjoy herself, didn't she? And
that's exactly, you're just describing me. Now, at 55, I walk out the door every day thinking, oh, what am I going to get up
to today? Oh, brilliant. brilliant. And then they all go looking for it because they couldn't find it when they went back to get it. They couldn't find it. And then I think it was maybe if the first real encounter with a teacher other than on the first day was with Mr. Baxter, because they went to the boys' changing rooms. And everyone just loves Mr. Baxter, don't they? Everyone loved Michael Cronin. What was he like as someone to work with?
He was lovely. I don't have great memories of Michael Cronin because I suppose we didn't really converse when we weren't acting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was very good. He was a really good actor, but I do recall not really having a sort of friendship with him. There were certain teachers who did hang out with us and chat with us, and you remember them very well, you know. Yeah.
So what was the relationship like then in general with the adults?
They were great, but I suppose if you're an actor, for example, if you're playing one of the teachers and you're coming into a you know, long-standing series like Grange Hill, you're going to possibly do your scenes and then go back to your dressing room, and a lot of the actors did that. But I have really fond memories of Chris Jury, who played Mr. Knowles, and also the gentleman who played Scruffy McGuffey.
Fraser Cairns,
I just remember they were just really, really good fun. Really, they would chat to us, you know, be engaged really with us, not so much sort of go straight back to their dressing room when we'd never see them except on the set. And it was so amazing back in February when we went to that reunion. Do you remember? You were there. And I saw Chris Jury after all those years, and it was so wonderful to see him and to be able to chat to him. But as an adult, and I remember saying to him, "Thank you for engaging with us."
Yeah,
because a lot of people didn't, and maybe people were quite, freaked out by all these sort of little famous people.
Yeah,
you know,
because during your time on Grange Hill, the teachers were quite peripheral, weren't they? They were only used as sort of, you know, a necessity for a scene. It was only later on where they seemed to get their own sorts of storylines. So it was quite, you know, as I say, it used to necessitate a scene.
I imagine.
Okay. Well, there was another one in that first series where we kind of get the impression that maybe Annette is all mouth when they meet the workmen in the school, and they'd been in the service tunnels under the school. And Annette and Belinda end up in there, and Annette gets quite scared, whereas you would have thought it would have been the other way around. And Belinda takes charge of it in the end, and they managed to get lost under the school as well. Can you remember filming those scenes at all?
Yes, I never thought you'd even mention it, but that was the most ridiculous storyline. It really was. And it took about 2 weeks.
Right.
And they'd obviously built the set up a bit, you know, so it looked like we were climbing down a track. And the set, I just remember spending 2 weeks in this bloody tunnel, you know, which was and it was quite claustrophobic. I don't know how they did it, but I think they really did make it like a tunnel. So you had to climb up the set, go down the track and into it. And it was 2 weeks of being in that. And I remember finding it really boring because I'm going back to that set again. But I remember it vividly. It was just funny why they wrote it. Why they bothered to write an episode like that, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, it worked out because they caught the burglars. They caught the, caught the school burglars because
there's always a reason.
They fell down. They fell down the trap door and Belinda phoned the police. Belinda being Belinda.
Yeah.
Now I mentioned some storylines and it's really hard. I'll be honest, it's really hard when I'm doing this to not mention every single storyline that you're in.
Mm.
Now there was the Minto Bar storyline where they had to collect the wrappers. You know, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but at the end of the Minto Bar storyline, when they were getting the check presented to them and there was a photographer there and the class were getting a photograph taken. And I sent you this video clip the other day.
Yeah.
As the photographer says, cheese, I don't know if Annette falls or Nadia falls, I'll be honest. But you bang your chin on Zamo's head. Now, was that supposed to happen?
I don't know. Looking back, I think she genuinely had a little topple, you know, she tripped. Yeah. But I would like to think that Annette did that in order to spoil the photograph.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? Or get some attention. Just get everyone looking her way.
Right, brilliant. Brilliant, okay. Because I think if that's an accident, it's quite a big one because... It's zoomed in. It's not like it's far away and you won't notice it. It's zoomed in and you see the chin bang on Lee MacDonald's head. Okay, got to the bottom of that one there. So one of Grange Hill's, I think, arguably best ever single episode is the trip to Chessington. Right? And I believe that was the first episode that you filmed. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic, and I know a lot of the other characters will say that as well.
Yeah,
it was our first episode, and because I remember we used to get to the BBC in Wood Lane, that was like base, and then we'd all jump on these coaches and they'd take us off, and we had no idea where we were going, and it was like the first day or first week, and we ended up going to Chessington Zoo and subsequently spending 2 weeks there. Uh-huh. It was a fantasy land for me. It was so much fun. And the best thing about it was that I got to do a scene in the ghost train.
Yeah.
I think it was with Jonah, possibly, and then with the cars behind that had Zamo. And I've been brought up near a fun fair in South Wales. Right. So I was brought up going to I love the fairground. I just love things like that. I'm quite childish. And it was the dream come true because they turned the lights on in the ghost train.
Right.
You know, and so for 2 weeks, I'd be wandering around, you know, getting out of the little car. And yeah, I know I sound really sad. I just found that so exciting to walk around a ghost train. So yeah, it was fabulous. The whole experience was so much fun. We just had a ball. We really did.
Brilliant. Couple of bits in it which I think are very of its time, with conversations that are going on, the girls asking Miss Mooney if she's going to give up work as soon as she marries Mr. Sutcliffe, and then Faye and Annette having a conversation about what they want to be when they're older and would they give up work, and Faye saying that she wants to be a hairdresser, and Annette says she wants to be something exciting. Can you remember what that was? Annette says that she wants to be a trapeze artist. So, and I love that. I want to be exciting, you know, something like a trapeze artist. And I just think, no, that's brilliant. And then Annette gets talking to a boy from another school who she called Carrots. because he had orange hair. And this bit was... you know, of its time as well, because at the end he says to her, can I have your address? We can write to each other. Can I have your address and all that? Whereas now, obviously, it'd be, can I have your phone number? They'd have it there and then, and they'd be in contact straight away. And so she, can you remember the name that she gave him? Because she didn't tell him her name was Annette.
I don't remember.
She told Carrots that her name was Mavis Pike. No,
I'm gonna use that name
the other thing about that episode, and it came to light I think a few years later, was that Naomi Campbell is an extra in that episode.
Wow.
I didn't know if you knew that. But apparently she was an extra in quite a few episodes, but she's quite noticeable in that episode as well.
Oh, I never knew that, Neil.
And the other thing about that episode is when we hear Janet Sinclair's catchphrase for the very first time of "I'm trying to help you, Roland." That's where that comes from as well. And speaking of Roland, Annette always seems to give him a bit of a hard time, asking him about the fact that he went to a shrink and all that. And when he got hit by a car, the class decided they were going to make a card, and the kid said, "Well, Annette should do it because she's really good at art." And Annette was like, "Well, I'm not doing it." He probably got himself hit by the car and all that. And like, to the teacher as well, it wasn't just like saying it to her mates. And like, so in the end, she does agree, despite thinking that he did do it on purpose. But she wasn't too happy about Faye's idea of buying Belinda a going away present, because she had quite a bit of resentment towards Belinda, didn't she? And I think it was because Faye had been her mate. Faye wanted to be Belinda's mate as well. And it was, there was quite a bit of resentment there to it, because she never seemed to like it. Any idea why?
I don't know. I think perhaps Annette was a bit jealous that Faye had another mate, you know, and Belinda was more like Faye than Annette was, you know, and I think Annette was just quite cagey about someone getting in, you know, into their little world that they had. Because I think Annette really relied on Faye for security and friendship, and Faye was able to, she put up with Annette, and she was able to deal with her.
Yeah.
I think Faye was the only person out of the whole school that could actually control someone like Annette, if in a way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. She knew the person behind all the, you know.
Yeah.
And
then, so let me move on then, series six. Belinda's left, as we've said, but this saw the arrival of Julie Marchant. And Diane Cooney and Sarah Wilkes and Mandy Firth. But I always thought that Annette had far more in common with Sarah and Mandy than you would have imagined that they would have been friends, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't always seem to get on. They, you know, they had times when they did get on and times when they clashed, like Annette did with everyone else, you know. But yeah, as I say, we were introduced to Julie Marchant, who became sort of the third person in the friendship.
Yeah.
And again, Annette didn't like that Faye was friends with someone else. So there's an episode where, well, one of the things that went through certainly the early years of Grange Hill was the fact that Faye was really good at hockey. And she had her own hockey stick, and Julie was looking after it. But then Annette, once again, grabbed something of someone's and hit it. But this time so that Julie would get the blame, because Julie had been looking after it. And it's almost like the clarinet incident again, just with someone else. So, but Annette would make like snarky comments. So I'll help you look for it, Faye. What are friends for? Real friends, that is. And you just think, oh, you're horrible, you. but when she got back there, when she got there, Sarah and Mandy were there, and again, I just thought they would have been laughing with Annette by the fact that Annette had hidden it. But then they said, "So we're having this hockey stick. We're going to go and we're going to take it to the boiler room." I think they said they were going to basically burn the hockey stick. But they said, "Well, you can't tell anyone, because we'll tell them that it was you that hit it." But then Julie came to Annette's rescue and looked after him and said that she'd tell. There'd been something earlier on with Diane Cooney, because they were horrible to her, weren't they, those two girls? Like, so Julie said, "Well, if you do that, I'll tell them you hurt Diane on purpose." And that sort of became like a nice little bond then for Julie.
Yeah.
Because Julie didn't want to come between Faye and Annette. She wanted them all.
I think Annette found Julie quite cool. I think secretly she thought, all right, she's more along, she had the same kind of tactics, you know.
Yeah. Well, Annette, this for me is the greatest prank in Grange Hill history, right? Out of the 30 years, and the 31 series of Grange Hill, the greatest prank ever in Grange Hill history is when she bet Zamo that he couldn't keep his feet still while she walked round him three times. And for anyone that hasn't seen it, there's a spoiler alert coming up here. Because she says, you can't keep your feet still while I walk you round you three times. And I think it was a 20p bet or whatever it was. So Zamo says, okay. So she walks around him once. Then she walks around him again, twice. And then she goes and sits down. She doesn't walk around him a third time. And then Miss Mooney comes in and tells him off for standing up and not sitting down. And I just love it. Honestly, also all the pranks, all the things that happen in Grange Hill, that for me is the best one because it's the easiest one to do. And I bet you there was kids all over the country doing that the next day. Now, in that series, there was the St. Albans trip. Again, you know, you got to go away on another school trip. You've already had Chessington, and then you got to go on St. Albans. And Faye obviously didn't go because she had a hockey going on. So Annette paired up with Julie. Now, their episode, it starts off typical Grange Hill episode, you know, people being daft and doing stupid things. But then it takes a really dark turn, that episode, when Lisa York was on, I was saying that to her, that they're looking for the Roman Theatre and there'd been lads driving around in a car. And they asked them if they'd take them. And they said, yeah, come on, we'll take them. And Julie's a bit apprehensive about getting in. But Annette's like, no, it'll be okay. They'll take us. And like I say, it just takes a really dark turn because they go away from the centre. They go down the centre of St. Albans and they go down these country lanes. Mm. And then the lads say to them, well, we'll take you back to St. Albans if you do a little something for us. And I was saying to Lisa when she was on that it's not actually said what they want them to do, but it's implied. And for a kids' TV program to have the balls to do something like that, you could understand why parents didn't like their kids watching it.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you can understand why parents let their kids watch it.
Absolutely, because I think a lot of television, I mean, Grange Hill was, if you think about it, it was pushing boundaries, wasn't it? Back then, and dealing with issues that maybe people didn't want to talk about or didn't want their children to see. But I distinctly remember that episode and also being it was quite scary to do the episode. Yeah. I think I mentioned it back in February when we got into the car.
Yeah.
The way they filmed it, they put the camera on the dashboard because obviously we were driving off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys playing the characters are lovely, lovely guys. Yeah. And I remember Lisa and I getting into the back of this car and off the car went. So there were no crew.
It was just, okay.
You know, it was just a camera filming us. And it was a really strange experience. Uh-huh. And, yeah, it was a very good storyline. And I think if you YouTube it now, it'll come up with that little clip and it'll say Stranger Danger.
Yeah.
Underneath it. And I think it's very important.
But I think as well, watching it back, it was kids needed that because when you used to watch Stranger Danger films, when they used to show them in school and stuff like that, the really dark side of it was never shown. You know what I mean? And it was like in a Stranger Danger film, it was like, okay, these people will come and take you from your parents. But that's it. They're just going to take it away from your parents. That what could go on afterwards was never explored or mentioned.
And
I do think that was needed for kids. Certainly for like naive kids like me.
Yeah.
Because that was at the time. It was, all right, they'll take me away from mom and dad and I won't see them again. But you don't think what could happen when you are taken away. So it was a really, really daring storyline, a really clever one.
Yeah, it was.
I have to say, if it hadn't been for Annette being the way she was, it could have got a lot worse.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't afraid to stick up for herself, was she? Didn't matter who it was.
And how did it end? I can't, because she got them out of it.
So she just said, no, we're not doing it. And the lads said, well, we're not taking you back to St. Albans.
Oh, and so, she says, we'll walk.
So they walked. Obviously got back an hour late and told the police, they told the teachers, what had happened. Now, you've already mentioned them. Moving on. Mr. Knowles, the Chris Jory, just Mr. Knowles storyline. I love it. I love this one just because of we see Annette's kind of horrible side, but like also like a jokey side, and the fact that she wasn't afraid to actually have a laugh with her mates when she could, because they follow him to the shops because they know he's not, you know, he didn't have a lot of control. He had no authority. They follow him to the shops, copying his walk. Did you have to practice much to copy that walk that he was doing?
I think I just copied him. I thought it was so fantastic, his walk. And it was so easy to sort of just replicate. He is such a good actor. It was just brilliant. And thank you for sending me that scene as well, because I haven't seen it in years. And I thought it was quite lovely.
Yeah.
Were they making? I don't know. I think they actually really liked him.
The girls have a bit of a discussion about whether he'd be married or even have a girlfriend and all that. So then they say, well, why don't we pretend to fancy him? He'll love that. So they're just like, Annette's making eyes at him and stuff when he's out walking, and they're going up really close to him. And then he obviously says his famous line, will you stop following me? And I'm not going to try his accent because I can't do it, because no one else can do it.
But him,
the way he does it. Yeah. So I wouldn't even try.
And he did it, didn't he? He did it back at their reunion.
Yeah,
and
he did, yeah. He did it when he came on here, actually. He did it on here for me as well. Because he just said in the script, it just said about the walk, something like Mr. Knowles has, Annette copies Mr. Knowles' walk. So he said he thought, I've got to do something that's going to be easy for her to copy. And then in that episode, they find out that he's getting inspected and he could lose his job. So all the kids decide that they're going to behave for him, except Annette, who tries to carry on in his lesson the way she has it all the other times. But none of the other kids give her any sort of, don't give her any time in the lesson. And she realizes what she's doing. But when Mr. Knowles moves, says, come and sit at the front, she just gets up and does it. And he obviously kept his job as well. So the kids did look out for him there. You also went on the Outward Bound trip to Wales, funnily enough.
And again,
I believe that was filmed right at the start of the of the filming as well.
That was weird. That was North Wales. It was nowhere near where I'm from, but it was very exciting.
And were you into all that kind of stuff? Did you enjoy all that?
I really did actually.
Because we get to see Annette climbing up the rock face.
Annette being sporty.
Yeah.
It was really exciting because obviously we went to an Outward Bound centre and we stayed in it. We stayed in the little sort of hostel, bunk beds and whatever. And I guess to sign us off, just like safety reasons, we had to learn to do everything.
Right. Okay.
Abseiling, rock climbing. I'm sure we turned in a canoe as well. I'm sure we had to do that.
Yeah, there was all that. That was,
so there was all one, these things, and I absolutely loved it. And, of course, the zip wiring. I mean, who wouldn't want to go on a zip wire? And it was quite a scary one. I think we started off with a little one, and then there was this really long one. But for me, and it is quite sad, because I was listening to Alison Bettles' podcast, which I thought was really lovely, and she sort of talked about it quite a bit this episode. But for me, Neil, I didn't think I was going to go to London. I didn't think I was going to be an actress. And I remember doing that and thinking, I want to go to normal school and do things like this.
Right. Yeah.
And it was shortly after I said to my mum, I don't want to do this anymore. And my dad. And you know what? They said, you're an actress. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, because for me, it was just a bit of a jolly. It was So there is a lot of, like, there's a lot of memories there with the kind of the sporty kind of person has come out now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the zip wire then.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when you go down that zip wire, you let out a tremendous scream. Like, yeah. I had my headphones on listening to that one. Were you scared of it, or was it just you thought?
No, it was pure joy. It was so much fun, and believe me, we'd done it about 50 times.
Right. Before. Okay.
Because once we were allowed to go on that zip wire, I think we were just back, and it was so much fun. So I think
brilliant.
She had to scream in the script. I remember that.
But also, there's a bit in there, and it might just seem like a bit of a throwaway thing, but we see Annette's soft side coming out again when they're talking about some of the older lads that are staying there, and Annette called one of these older lads, she calls him Spotty, but then remembers that Diane's there, and she sort of turns around and apologises to her. And then we also see the soft side where she notices that Diane isn't eating. And goes and tells to Miss Mooney, about what was going on, and I thought that was quite clever as well, because obviously that's the first sort of time in a kids' program that something like that would have been addressed as well.
Yeah,
but it's just nice that it was Annette that noticed it, and because obviously Annette was the type of character where you would have thought, oh well. Yeah. Leave her, you know what I mean? But
exactly, but she did care. I think once people got used to her and tolerated her, because you know, she really did care about them, do you know what I mean? And she was genuinely concerned.
She had that front up though, didn't she, all the time?
She did
look after her mates. And then at the end of the Outward Bound episode, famous scene where everyone's dancing to What by Captain Sensible, and I just love that, because that's one of the episodes I remember actually watching on telly, and that was probably the first time that I'd heard that song.
Yeah,
and so it always sticks in my mind whenever I hear it. I always think of that, the end title sequence.
And you know what sticks in my mind about that scene? They lost the film, and we had to go back and do it somewhere else about a few months later. Yeah, I'll never forget. We had to go and do it. We were like, oh, God. And we had to recreate it in a completely different, but it was quite a few months later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Lucky everyone was there. Everyone had to get their hair all redone and all that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, there's a bit in series two where Annette says that she might have to have a brace fitted, but then that storyline never went anywhere, and it was weird because she was like quite down about it, but then it was never mentioned again. Do you know if there was any reason for that?
You know, maybe they asked me and I said I wouldn't do it. No, you never know. No idea.
All right, then. So we move on now to series seven, and that's in third year. Obviously, Jonah had left at this point, Lee Spark had gone, which I know was a bit upsetting for quite a lot of people. Like,
I think it was crushing for all of us, Leon. Yeah. Because he was fantastic. He was a really good actor, and I think he is someone that could have gone on to be a really kind of, he was such a good actor.
Yeah.
And he's a lovely person.
Yeah, I mean, Lee's been on here, and we're still in touch, and he's just a cracking lad, isn't he? You know,
lovely.
He's a good lad. Now, in series seven, Annette turned up looking very different than what she had in the past. You know, she had makeup, completely new image and hair and all that. What did you think of the image change? Was that anything to do with you, or did they say this is what's going to happen?
It was very much, I mean, they were in control of the script. So I do remember that sudden change. And I just remember as well, a few weeks before the series was going to start filming, the costume department rang me and said, we're going to take you shopping. And this woman, I had to meet her in Oxford Street, and she just took me shopping and gave me a sort of rough outline of what Annette was going to be doing this year. And we went shopping for costumes for the whole series. And Yeah, it's funny that, wasn't it? Because she suddenly made, was it because the they didn't have to wear uniforms?
Well, that was later on. That was the next series. Yeah,
right,
that was the next series.
Yeah. And I just remember having to get these outfits. But the thing is, the things I wanted, I wasn't allowed to have. Because this one was going, no, she's got to be really bright and colourful and outlandish. Yeah. So that's all I remember.
Okay.
Things.
And she not only had that image changed, her attitude had changed quite a bit as well. Because Miss Mooney had left and Miss Gordon had come in, and the first scene, other than being on the bus, the first scene in the school is with Miss Gordon, and she's reprimanding Annette for having makeup and stuff on. But even like the other kids couldn't believe the way Annette was speaking to the teacher as well. And they'd always knew Annette was pretty mouthy, but the look of disbelief on the kid's face when Annette's giving it to the teacher as well. And there's an art lesson. And I think this is where we see the first real signs of what's going on in Annette's home life. Because they're asked to create something to represent their holiday. And Annette did nothing because she said that's exactly what happened during their holidays.
Oh, that's so
sad. When you think about that, like, you just think, all right, so maybe there is something going on there. Like, but you know, obviously that's me looking into it now as an adult and knowing what happens. But again, you got the teacher there, Miss Gordon, is saying to her, you know, you're always saying that you're bored. And in my experience, the most boring people are the ones that always say they're bored. And I just think, for a teacher to be saying that to a child, like, I know it was a different time in the 80s, but you know, when that's, again, you know, the way Annette is, her self-esteem is going to be crushed again. But Annette was then making her own little fun, and she was saying she could bet the kid, she was betting Faye and Julie that she could wear her eye makeup without getting caught. So she put sunglasses on and said that to him. Said that she her eyes were sensitive to light and she had a doctor's note. And that she got the doctor's note by telling the doctor that she was having headaches and stuff like that. And you just, yeah, that's so Annette, like, isn't it, you know? Yeah. But then Mrs. McCluskey asked to see the note. And the very next scene, we see Annette without the sunglasses on. we have to talk about Gwyneth Powell. Like we've got to talk about Gwyneth Powell because, you know, there wasn't a great many scenes that you had, Ray. You had a few, but what were your experiences like?
She was really lovely. I think the scenes that I had with her were probably in her office. Yeah. Those were probably the only. She was lovely. Very very kind, very sweet. I didn't have an awful lot to do with her because, again, she you know, would go back to her dressing room or whatever, you know. And, but she was just great. It was amazing working with her. And of course, you knew of her anyway. She was,
Everyone says that, as lovely as she was, when you had a scene with her, you did feel like you were talking to a head teacher.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like an actor playing a head teacher.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were a bit scared. You were a little bit kind of like, ooh, you know.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Now, Annette, obviously, coupled with her image change, decided she was going to enter a fashion competition and got her photos taken in a photo. But do you remember photo booths? Got her photo taken. In a photo booth.
Yeah.
And I love that bit because we actually get to see the actual, like, as though we get to see what the camera is taking in the photo booth. So, obviously, Annette's there doing all her poses and stuff. And she gets through to the finals of the competition.
Yeah.
But Miss Gordon, again, because that clash wouldn't let her have time off to go. And actually told Annette that she was better than that. She was better than being a model. But Annette went anyway. When she got there, she had her hopes dashed because there was over 200 kids there and she was the only one in school uniform. And she went back to school and refused to get changed for swimming. And that refusing to get changed for swimming led to a whole chain of events.
That's right.
Which, and I vividly remember this happening, but when Jeremy drowns, Do you remember what it was like for, because you weren't actually on poolside, I don't think, but can you remember
No.
what it was like for those scenes
Yeah,
being
I do.
filmed?
I do. It was quite harrowing, actually. And I wasn't in the swimming pool because I'd refused to get changed. So all my scenes were in the changing rooms. So I got to watch quite a bit of the filming.
Right.
And yeah, it was quite harrowing. Yeah.
I mean, because like I, you know, when you're in a program like Grange Hill, when most of the time it's all nonsense and hijinks and everyone having a bit of a laugh, and then all of a sudden you're getting this scene thrown at
Yeah,
you.
very serious storyline.
I mean, Vinny's been on, Vinny Matthews, and he was telling me about that and the fact that he said, "Watch it again because you see his stomach get caught on the lip of the pool as they're lifting him
Oh,
out and stuff like that."
yeah.
But yeah.
And he was a lovely actor as well. Again, it's quite sad when people have to go,
But I mean, it would have been because obviously everyone knows the story that it would have been Lee Spark.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know until I listened to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
had no idea.
Yeah, I know. I thought everyone knew that one. Like,
No.
wow, there we go. So the podcast works, the system works. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, everyone's really sad and upset, except Annette, who comes in all breezy and being Annette the way she is again, putting that front on.
Yeah.
And then she was saying things about Jeremy, and the girls were saying, you know, you shouldn't speak ill of the dead. But Annette said, well, why is everyone suddenly being nice about him? You know, he'd been a pain, and anyone who says otherwise is a hypocrite. And
True.
then Annette breaks down crying. And again, looking back at that, what's going on in her home life? Do you know what I mean? And I know, like, she was kind of sort of feeling a little bit of guilt about Jeremy, but then obviously whatever else was going
Yeah.
on in her home life.
Yeah, finally she crumbles, doesn't she?
And it's the first time that we really see it,
Yeah.
because she'd always been this hard girl. She'd always.
That's right, and it's just built up and built up and built up.
Did you find it easy to cry?
I think I probably did. Yeah. I was quite into all the performing side. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the sponsored walk, before they go on a sponsored walk, Annette said her mum had sponsored their 75p a mile. And I think it was 20 miles. And she said, I've already got the money in advance. And again, thinking about it, is that her mum saying, yeah, it is, because I'm doing horrible things at home?
Yeah,
It,
possibly.
am I so it's me sort of
Yeah.
paying you off, like.
That's right, because she buys her things,
Yeah, she
doesn't
carries on,
she?
then you get the Polaroid
Yeah.
camera, which
Yeah,
then
that's
get
right.
the
That's
Polaroid
right.
camera gets pinched.
Yeah. So
Oh no.
finally, Annette has something
The
nicked.
Polaroid camera doesn't get pinched. Julie Marchant took it and
That's
hid
it.
it
Yeah.
because she
Yeah.
was fed up with Annette boasting about it. And
Yeah.
Annette had taken a photograph of a lad in the sixth form that Julie fancied, but wouldn't let her have the photograph. So then Julie took the camera, but when she gave it back, because she gave it back because she saw how upset Annette was, and Annette then attacked Julie because Annette knew what would happen if she went home and told her mum
Yeah,
that
it was missing.
she didn't have the camera. And then the girls noticed that, and Miss Hartley, the PE teacher, noticed that when Annette had got changed, she had bruises on her arms. And when Miss Hartley asked her, she said she'd fell. But when the girls asked her about it, that's when she came clean and told her that her mum hit her. And again, like you know, the present carries on. She gets a brand new BMX bike, which is an amazing bike, by the way. I watched that scene the other day and I thought, look at that bike, tremendous. And you know, I'm a 48-year-old man, but I looked at a BMX bike and I was like, that's amazing. But it was stolen by, well, Roland stole it for Jimmy McLaren. And then Faye and Julie then decide to tell Miss Gordon about what's going on with Annette's mum. And Miss Gordon went to see Annette's mum, and she admitted to what was going on. Annette's dad had left, was how it all came about. And the mum found it really, really difficult to cope with. And she basically said, the mum basically said, it was her way of lashing out and dealing with everything that was going on, was Annette was taking the brunt of it.
Yeah.
And again, a kids TV program
dealing with
that.
Issues. Yeah.
Just like I, you know, we say it all the time that it was a groundbreaking program, but when you know it really, really was. It's not just a cliche because those sorts of things wouldn't have ever been on kids' telly.
No, they just
before.
Weren't addressed, were they, back then?
No, no. But what was it like having that, like, sort of another set to be in rather than the school? Because people who've been on say when there's a family and they find out who's, you know, they've got a mum and they've got a home, they always really enjoy that. And I know Annette's mum wasn't in it very much. I think she might have only even been in that one episode.
Yeah. You know what? It's weird. It is weird when you, because you're kind of playing this character. You own your character, don't you? And you're sort of playing that part for about 3-4 years, and it becomes part of you. And then somebody else comes into the picture, like a mum or a brother or something, and it is really odd. It's really odd. And I remember meeting the actress who was playing my mother, and it was very, very quick. Oh, hello. How are you?
Yeah.
And There wasn't a lot of time to do much sort of bonding and talking about the kind of history or the historical part of the, you know, of their sort of family story. So it is odd, and it is odd when you go to a set that's supposed to be your living room.
Yeah,
and, it is a strange thing, and that whole storyline happened very quickly. You know, you're filming it over like 5 days, and. I don't think I had time to be shocked by it. As an actor, you're so used to just getting the story out,
Well, I mean, I do think Annette's mum was only in that one scene.
Yeah.
So I don't think you had much time together anyway.
No, we didn't. No.
Thinking about it, much on-screen time anyway. And then the next day, Annette then attacked Faye for telling Miss Gordon about her mum, which... You know, again, a genuine thing that would go on in those circumstances. But then Faye and Annette make up. We don't actually see them making up, but we assume they've made up because there's then another trip, which is the orienteering trip, the orienteering weekend, another school trip away that you would have got to go on, I imagine. Was that Yorkshire, was it, that one?
That was Yorkshire, yeah. Right. We went on some fantastic trips.
Yeah. Didn't you just?
And they put us all together as well. I think it was better because I remember thinking, oh, how come we don't get to stay in hotels? I think I went and asked the director as well, because I probably did, like Annette would. Because all the teachers were in hotels, but we were all in, you know, wherever, like the students going on orienteering trips would have stayed. So we had a dormitory.
Paula Ann Bland said that, you know, she was there, and she said her and Mark Burgess were basically told, along with the chaperones, you're looking after all these kids.
And Paula's probably younger than me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was really strange. I just remember we had a dormitory, and it was awfully good fun, and it was the right thing to do, really, because we were young and we were having a great time, and it was like a school trip. I got to a school trip.
Did you just say Paula is younger than you?
Probably. I was quite old.
Right.
I was the oldest one in... Yeah, I was 13 at the beginning of Glen Chill, and a lot of them were about 11 in my class. Yeah.
Okay. And on that orienteering trip, the girls were the first back. They were determined to beat Zamo and Kevin, which they did. But then the big thing in that storyline was Roland and Mr. Baxter being out late because Mr. Baxter had got injured. And they're all waiting back at the centre, waiting for news. And Annette comes out with the line, because everyone was worried, and even Annette was worried. And Annette comes out with the line of, I'll never tease Rowley again if only he's all right. And you know what? You just think, why are you telling that lie? Somehow I just don't think she would have kept that promise. And then at the end of that series, you were part of Grange Hill's most memorable school disco. Dancing to True by Spandau Ballet with Nigel Flavin.
Oh, yeah.
Which just seems strange considering 3 episodes earlier he'd nicked their BMX bike.
Oh, gosh.
But Gary's great, isn't he? Gary
He's
Hales.
lovely,
He's
yeah. Again, he was another person I saw back in February, and he was like, "Oh, remember our slow dance?" It was really good fun. That was a really good fun scene to film. We really laughed that day because we were dancing to that song all day long, replaying it and replaying it, and we really laughed the whole time.
Yeah, brilliant. And like Paula was saying the other week, did that song, has that stuck with you
Yep.
all the way through
Yep.
your life?
Absolutely. It really has. Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, I know you know this. The week before every episode of Sausage on a Fork goes out, I do a guess the guest competition, and I put picture clues on. The first person to guess who the guest is going to be gets to ask a question. Now, someone called Matthew Caird got the guest right when it was Helena Maher was the last guest on. So he's got a question for you here, and he said, "When you look back at at the time on Grange Hill, was there anyone there that you took the acting part?" And I think he means the kids here took the acting really seriously. And was there any of them that just didn't take it seriously at all?
You know what? I don't think so. I think we were all in this together, and we all worked really hard, but we all had fun when we could.
Yeah, right.
I don't. I you. I mean, you have to take it seriously because you have, if you didn't know your lines, that's costing hundred, so much money. We had to be there, take it seriously, and I don't think anyone sort of messed about. I think we all realised how lucky we were, how privileged we were as well to be, to well, one, not to be going to school, a real school or whatever, and this crazy life we had.
Yeah,
Yeah.
brilliant. Okay, well, that's great. So we move on then to Series 8, the fourth year, and it was the year of the merger with Brookdale and Rodney Bennett. So there was a low, big influx of new characters coming in. And in one of the first scenes where they're all in the room together and they're talking about the new lads from Rodney Bennett and Brookdale. But Annette tells the girls that she prefers an older man. And just after she says this, it's very, very subtly done, but Stewpot walks past the door, just glances in, and then the camera goes to him, and he walks off talking to Claire. They walk off down the corridor, and they're in shot then. It's just really subtly done because Annette then tells the girls that she's got this mystery boyfriend. She wouldn't say who it was, only that they asked her for an initial, and she says S. So they're coming up with all these names, and they hear Annette talking to Mr. Smart, and they assume that it's him. By the way, another brilliant character, Mr. Smart.
Yeah, he was.
I hated him
Yeah.
as a kid, right? But when you watch it back as an adult, you think, "Oh, he's Simon Haywood does such a good job."
I thought he was really suave. I really did.
A proper 80s man, like, isn't he?
Yeah.
I just honestly, I watch it back and I think, you know what? That's why I hated him, because he's so good at the part that he plays. Because you didn't want teachers like him, did you? You
No.
were just angry all the time, but he's brilliant at it.
Was, yeah.
So they assume it's Mr. Smart, and then at the end of the day, Annette runs off to meet him, and the girls follow her, and they see her with Stewpot, and it was like a big sort of a big thing at the time, because obviously Stewpot and Claire had been like
Yeah.
the power couple, hadn't they? Grange Hill's power
Yeah,
couple
very much.
for years. Now, were you given any sort of input into that? Like, or was it just this is what's going to happen again? Like,
None whatsoever.
right.
Literally, you get the scripts, you are not told anything at all. So it was a bit of a surprise to me as well.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
what was, when you thought it's Stewpot, were you happy about that? Like,
I don't know. It was just one thing after another with that character. I mean, honestly, I think it was fun because I got to be with the older class because it was just like a real school where you didn't really mix with anyone out of your year. I remember that really well. So I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be with Paula and Mark and And yeah, that was quite exciting.
And then that sort of went on then throughout the series with Annette telling Stu Potts he needs to break up with Claire. But he said he couldn't because her mum was ill. And then Annette apologised to Stu Potts. And Stu Potts, I was watching, because there's a few things where Claire has a go with Stu Potts and ends up apologising to him. And I just think he always seems to come up better off than the girls did in that situation. And then we mentioned earlier about the clothes that Annette wore in that series, and you kind of got to pick them, but not really.
Yeah.
And Annette is pulled up by Mr. Bronson for what she's wearing. And Annette said, you've got no right to criticize what I'm wearing. I wouldn't want to dress like you, but I don't go around broadcasting it. And when you watch that back and you know what Mr. Bronson's like, obviously Annette didn't at the time, wow, she's a brave lady, Annette, isn't she? But again, Michael Sheard, another legend. Now, it was his first series on Grange Hill when you were there. But I mean, he must have been great to work with.
Yeah, he was. As well. Yeah.
Everyone just says how funny he was and how just the complete opposite to Mr. Bronson that he was. Because of like the timelines in my head, because I go through, I didn't realize that you'd had scenes with Michael Sheard. I don't think I realized at first that you were there at the same time. But yeah, I just love that. I don't like what you're wearing, but I don't go around broadcasting it to everyone. Yeah. I just think, and then he says, but you look like a gangster's moll, is what he comes up with. And I just think, brilliant. There's no other teacher in that school could have delivered that line like him.
And that would have been the look she was going for.
Yeah, she'd have been quite happy with that, I think.
Oh yeah.
And Annette then wound Claire up by telling her that she knew that her mum was ill. So obviously that was driving a little bit of a wedge there between Claire and Stu Potts. There's the UB40 concert where Annette went with Stu Potts. And then Claire turns up and Stu Potts stayed with Annette but he never seemed to want to be seen with Annette. And I think Annette was just that infatuated with him, wasn't she? That she didn't care. She just wanted to be able to tell people that he was her boyfriend. Because he said, well, none of my mates parade the girls on their arms, so why should I do it type thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then Annette took Stu Potts babysitting. But then Stu Potts said he had to go, and Annette said, well, if you go, then that's it. So he went,
Of course he did.
He went back to Claire and promised to never see Annette again, and that was it. Over for poor old Annette. But there was also the French exchange at that time as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was I said to. It might have been when Tim Polley was on. That is the longest pupil exchange, students exchange in the history of the world, because it just seems to go on and on forever. But it was typical Annette didn't like anything changing and blamed all the French kids for the change in the menu, because they obviously changed the school menu to try and accommodate them. But that was, you weren't really sort of heavily involved in any of that stuff, I don't think.
No, I don't. I remember the time, but that's probably the series I remember the least.
Right.
The last one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that was obviously the school musical.
Yeah.
Brighton Rock. And you had a lead role in that part.
Mm.
You said earlier on about the singing, and you could obviously sing, but you wish you'd had more opportunities to sing on the programme.
Definitely. I'd love to have sang more then. I mean, I'd never had a singing job, because I'd always just had acting, and I suppose it was I was hoping to go into musical theatre. Uh-huh. I remember wanting to explore that more. But I think what surprised me most about Brighton Rock was I had to dance.
Right.
I wasn't really a dancer. And it was really hard. I don't know if you remember. There were all these high kicks, and they had professional dancers that came in.
Uh-huh.
And I was just put with these dancers to do this routine, and I couldn't believe it. I had to do it, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, because like you said there about the dancers coming in, Louis Spence was one of those dancers.
Was he?
Yeah,
Oh,
Louis Spence was there, and Michelle Gale and Sam Lewis before they had parts
wow.
in Grange. They were in that scene.
Wow,
They were in
wow.
that episode as well.
Yeah.
But because going back to your singing, even when the ensemble singing, you can really hear your voice, I think, and I do think it's a shame because that you were given more opportunities. I'm not just trying to blow smoke up, here, like,
Oh, thank you.
I do think it's a shame because we were so used to hearing Annette's voice when we didn't need to hear Annette's voice. It's nice.
Exactly.
It's
If only she
nice
sang
that.
more.
I just think it's nice that Annette had that was given that time
But I
there.
guess it wasn't explored then, the singing aspects or
Great.
doing school shows, and that was quite a good one.
Brilliant. And then that was it.
Yeah.
47 episodes later, that was it. You didn't return for the 50th for series
No.
nine. Can I ask why?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I remember I told you earlier that I didn't necessarily want to be an actress.
Right. Yeah.
I was very fortunate because I always had a double life because I had Wales as well, and I
Right.
had
Yeah.
Wales to go home to. And when by that time, I'd had my parents had a flat in London because obviously the acting was, going quite well. And it was above an ice skating rink in Queensway.
Right.
I'll never forget. And obviously we were recognised, there were
Yeah.
three channels, we were quite, well known. And I had to come out of my flat, you had to come out of the front door into the queue for the ice skating rink.
Right.
And kids were like throwing things at me. And there'd
Wow.
even be parents going, "She stole the clarinet, keep away from her." It
Right.
was so bizarre. I remember thinking, "Don't they realise I'm acting?" And it got so bad that the porter in the building had to show me the back exit. Like,
Wow.
it was that bad. So it was really weird, that whole experience. And also, I wasn't really going to school that much, but I had this life in Wales. And that's where I used to shoot off to at any moment. And the small town that I came from, they just left me alone. They didn't say a word.
Right.
The most they would say was, "You right, Nad? How long are you
Yeah.
back for?" And that's all they said. And that,
Yeah.
so I felt very secure coming back to Wales. So I knew that I just wanted out somehow. And I remember thinking I need a year off. And by that time I'd got to 18.
Right.
I was 17, almost 18, so I was a bit older. And I just wanted out, really. I didn't even know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to explore being a teenager,
Yeah. Yeah.
So I left and I went back. I took a year out
Right.
and
Okay.
I partied for a whole year.
Excellent.
Yeah,
Excellent.
because my brother's only a year and a bit older, and he'd come back to Wales as well.
Right.
So I just, hung out with
Brilliant.
him and his friends. Yeah. And had a normal life.
Yeah. So you've said there about sort of like the adverse reaction that you
Yeah.
got. Did you get a positive reaction as well? Like, or was it
No,
main? No.
never.
Wow.
Honestly, that it was quite weird. Have I really didn't. No.
Wow, that's amazing.
And people would say, "You did this, you did that." Just come
It's just
on,
a TV
you must
program.
know it's not real.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you feel then about leaving?
It was like just walking away from something. I
Yeah.
just felt relieved.
Yeah.
But I remember it was the year they all went to the White House
Yeah.
and seeing the just say no, and
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I thought, "Oh, my timing is off." But no, I was really happy for them, and seeing them on Top of the Pops was wonderful. And I just remember just say no stuff. But I was too busy, tasting alcohol
Say
and
getting drunk. Yeah.
going on dates and just being normal. So
Brilliant.
yeah, and I had a car. I had my
Yeah.
first car, so that was all I was interested in.
Brilliant. Now, I haven't asked you this. I meant to ask you this earlier on. Obviously, you know, a lot of your scenes there were with Alison Bettles,
yeah.
The majority of them. But who were you sort of closest to Alison, on the programme? Yeah,
Alice, without a doubt. She is so lovely. Oh, my God, seeing her again after 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the moment I saw Alison and Lisa, we just couldn't stop chatting.
Yeah.
It was as if we were back in school, chatting about everything. You know, yeah. It was like I'd seen them yesterday.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, and thankfully we've continued to have a friendship.
Brilliant.
You know, quite different lives because she's a mum. You know, with four children.
Yeah. Oh no, brilliant. So. You've said there you had a year out of away from acting and everything. So did you decide then, right, I'm going back into acting?
Well, yeah. Again, I think it was my mum being sneaky.
Because
I remember distinctly wanting to go to secretarial college because I had all these grand plans. And we had an address, and we got in the car, and my mum was going to take me to the first day at this college. And she couldn't find it.
Right, okay.
No, she couldn't find it. She goes, I can't find it. I can't find it. We're going back. And to this day, I know where that college is, and it's really easy to find.
Right, okay.
So I think, again, she was like, you're not. But no, but anyway, I remember calling. Sylvia used to call a lot. Sylvia Young and say, when are you coming back? When you've got loads of auditions for you? And I think after 1 year, she got me an audition. It was for the National Theatre in London. And she said, look, this is a really prestigious company. Please just come up and go for this audition. And I did, and I got it. And I spent 2 years at the National Theatre with really big names, a big starry cast. It was a fantastic experience. It was really exciting.
Yeah.
But again, I've always been a little bit, oh, well, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I've always explored life, you know, if I want to go traveling, I'll just drop everything, I'll go. And so, obviously I knew I was in, a great theatre.
Uh-huh.
Peter Hall was the director, you know, he was our director. It was great. It was exciting. Although I did get bullied. That was the first time.
Wow.
And she's now known as the nation's sweetheart. I was 19 years old, Neil, and it was like...
And do you think maybe she was one of these mad parents who'd like seen you in Grange Hill and thought that that's what you were like?
She probably... You know what? Her daughter probably had a clarinet in the dressing room. And yeah.
I mean, I'm trying really hard, not to make light of it, because obviously it's a very serious thing. But
and I finally said it on a podcast, and I'm so happy. And now I'll probably be released from years of trauma.
Well, thanks for sharing that, though.
And
so you went back to television then after that, and you did Little Dorrit. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, that was a very minor role. That was a film. That was exciting. I remember, typical Annette style, I'd gone and cut all my hair off. For the audition, I had all this hair, and I turn up for the job, and I thought, I think I'd seen Farrah Fawcett Majors in a magazine, and she had a bob, and I thought, I'm getting a bob. And I turned up, and I had short hair, and they were like, what? They couldn't believe it. So then I had to go and get fitted with a wig, and all that costs money, you know.
Yeah.
So did Little Dorrit, and then a lot of theatre. Then I did an awful lot of theatre, and that was absolutely fantastic. Touring is amazing; it's so much fun. Yeah.
So, two episodes of The Bill as well, but the thing I had to talk about, The Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Big sort of, you know, big BBC production.
Ooh,
and that must have been, you know, going back to TV acting after all those years and getting something like that must have been pretty, with Colin Firth.
It was wonderful. It was like a dream, really, because we were going to all these locations, and I really like National Trust places anyway. So we were filming in stately homes, and the geek that I am, I was finishing my scene and then getting changed and going on the tours of these houses. Because I was like, oh my God, you know, I love visiting those kind of places. So it was a bit of a dream. It was like, you know, when you think, is this really happening? It was really, really wonderful. And I remember Colin Firth was just the nicest, most lovely person who could play guitar. He was a bit of a hippie.
Right.
He used to play guitar and sing some Neil Young songs. And,
brilliant.
Yeah, he was a really cool guy.
And then, so I've got nothing else then listed for you after Pride and Prejudice. You know, you've heard the podcast and you know that I do. I use IMDb exclusively for my research.
The buck stops there, Neil.
Yeah. Did you carry on acting?
Yeah, I did actually. I actually from there. I remember, in fact, I'd already got the job. I went to the Library Theatre in Manchester to do a play called The Secret Garden.
Right.
You know, Frances Hodgson Burnett. And I was playing Mary, the little girl in it, because I played a lot of children because I was quite small. And that did quite well. And then we took it on tour. And then it went back again to Manchester. It was one of these things that kept coming back.
Right.
And it was fun, so I just kept doing it. And it was at that time, I think I'd got to the grand age of 30. And I just wanted to stop. I mean, I do that quite a bit. I just think, right, you know, I don't have children, so I'm able to kind of make these decisions just for me and go, yeah, that's it. And I literally had hit a brick wall with regards to, and I was also getting I started getting stage fright.
Right.
Because I just didn't want to do it anymore. Yeah. And I remember they had to put buckets either side of the stage because I was that nervous. I didn't want to go on stage and I was wanting to be sick. It was a really strange experience. And again, I'd had it like that year after Grange Hill, I'd had enough. I thought, I went to Wales. I lived in Wales then for about 16 years. And then I moved back to London in 2018 and I worked at RADA, at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts.
All right.
Job there. Which was really, that was very interesting. But of course, like everybody on the planet, the COVID years happened.
Yeah.
And everything changed, didn't it, with regards to jobs. Yeah.
So we will also just explain for like a layman such as myself. Were you teaching then at RADA? Is that what
I wasn't. I wasn't teaching. I was working sort of more in sort of student services.
Right.
Again, it was for me, it was to go back, step back into it lightly. Because I'd had stage fright, just doesn't go away. It was something I never wanted to go near a theatre. I never even wanted to see a play.
Right.
It was such a lovely job because I was on the other side of it. And that was that. And it made me think, I wouldn't mind doing technical theatre or something like that. I was safely off stage. So, it was really good. It was good.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, no, yeah. Marvellous. So, we mentioned this a little bit, but are you still in touch with any of the cast from your time on Grange Hill now?
Yeah, Alison Bettles, Erkin. Yeah.
Everyone's still in touch with Erkin, aren't they? Erkin's like the linchpin, I've been told.
He is. He's so lovely.
Okay, so we are coming to the end now, Nadia. And, you know, the same few questions that I always ask at the end. So, obviously, big news last year and this year is that there's going to be a Grange Hill movie. You know, Sarah Sugarman, who was in Grange Hill, is going to be directing it. What do you think of the idea of the Grange Hill movie?
I think it's a lovely idea. I think there's going to be an awful lot of content that they can cover. It's going to be, you know, very different now. I think it's lovely. I noticed that Biker Grove of Boston, they're getting on it as well.
Yeah.
Aren't they? So I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will work, actually. I'm sure it would be really good.
Brilliant. And if you're asked, will we see the return of Annette Fearman?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, you wouldn't really say no, would you?
No.
If you got a call, it would be stupid not to. simply because you'd be seeing all your friends again. So, let's just hope Annette managed to get herself out of
here. Yeah, let's hope so. So, you know, you said earlier on that you were a fan of the programme. So other than Annette Fairman, who was your favourite character on the show?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. And I'm going to have to say Scruffy McGuffy.
Right. Yeah.
No, it sticks in my mind. And that march we did a big march.
Yeah, the march for Scruffy,
He was cool. His character was fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And if you couldn't have played Annette, which other character would you like to have played?
I don't think I couldn't have. I can't answer that.
You know, I knew you were going to say that just because of the way you've spoken about Annette.
Yeah. And today, what can I say? I literally got so lucky. I got lucky with that role.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. So then the last question, as always, is why do you think there's still such affection for Grange Hill?
I think it's our era, isn't it? Anyone sort of over the age of 45, perhaps, there's that nostalgia. And the 80s, I mean, my God, it was such a decade for fashion, music, and we were like plonked in the middle of it. And it was amazing. I mean, we're so privileged, aren't we, to have had, I think we had the best of it, really, you know.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Well, Nadia, thank you so much for coming on. We've had a hell of a time because the amount of technical difficulties we had earlier on trying to get this sorted. I've had technical difficulties with some interviews before, but nothing like the hour and a half debacle that we had before this one started.
All I had to do was press F10.
It was for anyone listening, right? We had three laptops and a phone trying to sort this out earlier on. We had to abandon it and reschedule. It took us that long that we had to have a break. So thank you for sticking with me and for managing to get on.
Thank you. It's been so much fun. It's been so lovely talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh no, not at all. Thank you for coming on. It's been great. Hearing about your times and your experiences, it's been brilliant. So once again, thank you very much. And for anyone who's listening, I'll speak to you next time. Cheers. Thanks.
Cheers, Neil.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.